Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm going to continue to share some of the testimonies that have come into us about miraculous healings and how God has just proven Himself still alive and well and willing to make other people alive and well. Praise God. We've been doing this for 2 weeks. This is the end of my second week, and I now have 3 volumes of DVDs on healings. We've had Healing Journeys 1 and then Healing Journeys 2, and now we've come out with a brand new Healing Journeys Volume 3. I will start sharing those testimonies on our programs next week. But for the last 2 weeks, I've taken 5 testimonies or 5 healings from each one of these first 2 volumes, and I've been showing one every day. Today, we come to the Trovers story. And Steve and Holly Trover, I'll let them tell their story, but let me just set it up by saying that they had a diagnosis while their 4th child was still in the womb that it was Down syndrome, and they were encouraged to abort this baby. And they decided not to do it, and they decided to believe God. And their baby was healed in the womb. And I forget all of the details, but out of something like 20 different markers or signs of Down syndrome, this baby had the vast majority of them. And the medical profession was saying, without a doubt, this baby has Down syndrome. And yet they believed God, and their baby was born perfectly normal. And let me just point this out, that I think it's January the 22nd, 1973, is when the Roe versus Wade decision was made that legalized abortion in the United States. And in the United States, since then, there has been well over 50 million children aborted. And I tell you, that is an ungodly thing. And I'm against it. I believe that the Word of God is against it. I'm not going to teach on abortion or when life starts right now, but the Bible makes it very clear that a child is a human being from the moment of conception. And when you abort a baby, it's just murder. That's all that there is to it. I've shown a testimony before about people that have aborted. Matter of fact, we had Carol Odenwald's testimony on this week, and she had multiple abortions. I'm not saying that you're a terrible person. I'm not saying that God doesn't love you. I'm not saying that you can't be forgiven. But I am saying that it's murder. It's wrong. And people have been lied to, and they've been told that it's just a fetus, that it's not, they don't even use the terminology and call it a baby or anything that would give it a personality or viability. But I tell you, it's murder. And you are going to see in this testimony today of people who were encouraged to go ahead and abort their baby because of the possibility that it would have Down syndrome. And even if the baby had been born with Down syndrome, that still does not disqualify it from being loved. It doesn't make it less of a person, less of a human being. You know, my wife talked about a woman that was being interviewed in the UK, some healthcare official there, and they were saying that if one of her children had chronic pain and things like this, that she wouldn't hesitate to suffocate that child. And I tell you, they were just talking about that as if it was a good, compassionate thing. Man, I'd hate to be her husband. I'd hate to get on her wrong side and add something that all of a sudden, in her opinion, I'm no longer viable, and so she just wouldn't hesitate to kill me in a moment and put me out of our misery. I tell you, that's wrong. The things that have been done in this nation, and not only in this nation, but around the world, but millions and millions and millions of children that have been killed is wrong. And I know that there's people get upset. I know that there's people who've been partners with me and say, well, I love your teaching of the Word, but now you're out of the Word. No, I'm not. The Word of God teaches about when life starts. Psalms 139. In Luke chapter 1 and many other places, it teaches you when life starts. And I guarantee you, any person who advocates abortion is advocating murder. And you can disguise it and talk about, well, what about the rights of the woman? You don't have the right to kill another person. It may be inconvenient for the woman, but that inconvenience does not justify you murdering another person. So anyway, I just make these statements, and I want you to look at the Trovers' testimony today and how that they believed God. And there may be some of you that are in a situation where you are contemplating having an abortion. And hopefully this will sway you and let you know that nothing's impossible. God can heal whatever's wrong with that child. There may be some of you that are contemplating an abortion just because of the convenience. I want you to know it's murder, and you don't have the right to murder another person. The United States government may give you that right, or whatever country you live in may give you that right, but God doesn't give you the right to murder another person. There may be some of you who've already committed abortion, and you may be hurt and feeling condemnation. I don't mean to condemn you, but it's wrong. There is no way to whitewash this. The way you deal with the guilt and the hurt and the pain of an abortion is not by saying it wasn't murder. It is murder. What you do is come to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, and He forgives you, and He can completely cleanse you and restore you. I am not saying that that is the unpardonable sin, but I am saying that it is sin. Maybe it's even been done without knowledge, because we've been lied to today, and many people are saying that that baby doesn't experience all of these things. You know, in 1973, when Roe versus Wade was passed, there wasn't the research. People for generations, for millennia, had just understood and known that a child is a child, whether it's in their mother's womb or whether it's outside of the womb. This whole thing about their viability and their ability to live. You take a child that's born after 9 months, full term, and totally healthy. It can't live outside of its mother's womb if you don't take care of it. I think that that is just a smokescreen. It's a side argument. It has nothing to do with the fact that for generations, for thousands of years, people knew that life, that a child was alive and a human being in their mother's womb. But because there wasn't any scientific proof, they went ahead and ruled, basically that the woman had the right to kill this child because there wasn't any scientific proof to the contrary. Now, there are volumes of scientific evidence. And if that evidence would have been present in 1973 when they were debating this, and if they would have brought that to bear, that would have stopped the whole thing. They might be able to claim ignorance back then, but now it is proven. And I mean, even the scientific, non-religious community shows that a child has emotion, feels pain, does all of these things at a very, very young age, at a very early development. And so I'm just saying that all of the scientific proof, everything, it's just wrong. If you've done it, God loves you. There is forgiveness available, but you need to repent of it. You need to acknowledge it for what it is and say that I'm wrong. And you need to return from it. And God can love you and God can forgive you. As we gave that testimony of Carol Odenwall, I am not here to condemn you. I'm not trying to condemn you, but you don't get free from condemnation by burying your head in the sand. You've got to face it. And the way to overcome condemnation is to receive forgiveness, to confront it, to humble yourself and say, God, forgive me. I'm wrong. I know that there's many of you that are very upset and you're feeling condemnation, but I'm telling you that it's not coming from me. I love you. I'm telling you the truth, because this denial that you're in and just saying that it is not murder is not the way to cope. And that's the reason that these things are always just below the surface and that the hurt remains. The only way you're going to get totally set free is to come to grips with it, to be honest, to be open, to say, God, forgive me. And when you do that and repent, then the Lord can totally remove that. Again, if you've watched my testimonies this week, Carol Odenwall had multiple abortions. I just watched another testimony that we'll be playing next week about Connie Weisskopf, and she had multiple abortions. And yet she now runs a pregnancy center and is helping other people and sharing the truth with them. And she's totally delivered of it. And there's joy and there's peace in her life. I am not condemning you, but I am saying it's wrong. And the way to get free isn't by denying the truth and hiding from the truth, but it's by confronting it and asking forgiveness. And I just want to encourage you with this. The Trovers believed God, and God performed a miracle in Holly's womb and healed their child. And today they have a perfectly healthy child because of their faith. Praise God. All things are possible. And I believe that this is timely, especially this time of year as we approach this anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, that we need to remember that we don't have the right to sit there and play God and decide who lives and who doesn't. We can believe God, and God can perform miracles. And even if for some reason that a miracle doesn't take place, that doesn't lessen the value of that life. And you may disagree with this, and I'm not mad at you. I hope you aren't mad at me, but I'm telling you the truth, and it's the truth that'll set you free. So there's some powerful things in this DVD. We're going to play that today. I encourage you to open up your heart. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let His Word speak to you instead of just our society. Watch this, and I believe that you'll be blessed. And please take advantage of our offer of this Healing Journeys Volume 2.
My husband was dead set against having four children. He has four in his family, and I come from a family of three. And when we had our, we had a boy first, I have a 7-year-old son. And when I was pregnant with my second child, I prayed that he would be a boy because I knew that if we had a boy and a girl, my husband would say, okay, that's great. We have one of each, and that's a wonderful family. So I really prayed, be a boy. I need two boys so I can have my third child, you know. So when I went to him saying, I would love to have a third child, he said, okay, well, we'll try for our daughter one more time, but if we don't, we have my three sons, and we're done. So actually in the ultrasound room, when they said, this is a girl, my husband just, it was like he won a football game or something. You know, he said, this, I love it when a plan comes together, and, you know, now this is our family. We're complete. We have our two sons and our daughter, so we can do this. And so I had this gorgeous portrait done of my three children, and it had just hung it on the wall.
In the fall of 2008, business was not good. It was clear that the economy was headed in the wrong direction. I started praying heavily and regularly that business would improve and for direction from the Lord. As I was praying, He continued to press onto my heart that we were to have another child, which was not what I was looking to hear at the time. And yet, I continued to hear this from Him. I did not initially tell my wife. In fact, I was much like Jonah in that I headed in the other direction. And then one evening, I was working at my computer. It was about midnight, and God told me it was time to go and tell my wife. And so I went in and sat down on the bed with her, and she was reading. And I said, honey, I've got to tell you something, and that is that God wants us to have a baby.
He said, it's been about 2 months now that God's been waking me up in the night and just telling me that we're supposed to have another child, that we're supposed to have a fourth baby. And my reaction was a bit of shock.
We thought we were done. We had three beautiful children, but we certainly knew that it was time to listen to God. And shortly thereafter, we did conceive our fourth. And after a couple of pregnancy tests that were positive, we went and had the ultrasound done, and sure enough, number four was on the way. Then we went to our next ultrasound appointment quite a few weeks later, and there was some concern.
She completed the scan, and when she was done, she said to us, she said, there's several factors here that convinced me that this is a Down syndrome baby. She told us that there was fluid on the baby's brain. She told me that the baby's head was more round, and normal healthy babies have more oval shaped heads. She said that the cheekbones were flattened, that there was a flattening here, and that the nose bone was not visible at all, that she couldn't get a measurement on it. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, the was missing from the pinky. She showed us that there were calcium deposits in the baby's heart. She said that the limbs from here to here and here to here on the arms and the legs, as far as from joint to joint, were shortened, that they weren't the right, they weren't growing at the correct length. They were showing a shortened deformity in the bone structure. She told us that the kidney had showed water on the kidneys. She said, no, you have a greater than 1 in 2 chance that this baby has Down syndrome. She talked to us about termination. You know, she said, you know, your options as well would be to terminate this pregnancy. She told us, we don't do abortions here, but we could give you a reference for that. And that was very hard for me to hear, because that would not ever be an option for us. You know, and I was very adamant in my reply back to her that that's not something we're interested in doing.
When the doctor left the room, I stood up and immediately canceled this diagnosis. This was not what God had for this baby. This was not of God. It was clear that this was Satan trying to attack what God had as a plan for our family, and I canceled the diagnosis immediately.
And he said, I cancel this diagnosis in the name of Jesus. I cancel this diagnosis that we don't believe these things that were spoken over our child, and we don't accept it. You know, that God called this baby out, that this was his will for this child to be born, and that we don't believe that these things are the truth, that these are facts, that we believe that they're real, you know, that they're facts in the natural world, that God's, you know, the doctor is doing her job and has shown us.
This was something that we saw in no uncertain terms. This was really there physically in the natural, and yet we knew in the supernatural that this is not going to happen to our baby, and we were going to believe that God was going to heal our baby. And yet, it was a tough time to go through.
When Holly called me the day that she got the diagnosis and said to me, Alex, they've told me that my baby has Down syndrome, I remember the feeling of, oh my gosh, this can't be. And for a second, I was down there with her. And then I remembered, but God. And I just remembered God promised this baby. It was his idea. It wasn't his idea to give him a Down syndrome baby. It was his idea to give him a whole healthy baby. I've always taught that the words that you speak are very powerful, that life and death are in the power of your tongue. And I remember when I started teaching myself about Andrew Womack teachings on our authority as believers, and how we are created in the image of God, and how just like God framed the world through the spoken word, we frame our future through our words. It was at that time that I started teaching some of Andrew Womack's teachings in Cell, that Steve and Holly really began to grasp it and get it. So when Steve and Holly were faced with a challenge, the fruit that was in them really came out very sweetly.
On March 27th, we went back to the specialist so she could have another look at our baby. But I really went back believing. I had the faith for this, that whatever was on the screen, I was not going to let that move me. I was not going to let my emotions override what I knew God's word said.
We went into the doctor's office, and the nurse said that we were going to have a different doctor, which was absolutely fine with me because I didn't really like the news the last one delivered. But Holly mentioned that she wouldn't mind speaking with the original doctor, and so the nurse notated that and went and found that doctor, and she actually came a few minutes later.
It took a really long time. She spent it was over an hour that she was taking measurements and doing things that just seemed to be forever. And I could hear my husband. He was actually singing and praising God in the background. I could hear him singing a song that I'm counting on God. He was humming that in the background. And she would measure and take another measurement. And then at one point, she just kind of stopped, and it seemed kind of strange to me. She stopped and she said,
if this was the first time I had ever seen this baby, I would tell you this baby has nothing wrong with him. He is perfect. in every way.
Then it got quiet again, and she measured more and measured more. And it was a little while, my husband and I started to realize that she was taking the same measurement more than once. You know, she was measuring the arms and the legs and the circumference of the head, everything. She was just doing it repeatedly. So when she was done taking her measurements, she stopped and she put her things down and she just looked at us and she said, you know, this is just one of those times where you just throw your hands up in the air.
When she called, I just was silent, weeping, thanking God, glorifying Him for His faithfulness, knowing that when we actually dare to step out, our Daddy does not let us down. Our Heavenly Father does not let us down.
They admitted Holly to the hospital and started the process of inducing her.
Really, it was just like a half an hour of active labor.
When he came out, it was just absolutely amazing. He was so big. It was far and away the largest baby we've had at 8 pounds, 11 ounces. He was 22 inches long, and I immediately went over and looked at Nathaniel afterwards, and his color was perfect. His everything about him, he looked like this perfect angel.
And when they had moved him over to the baby nurse that was cleaning him up, I started to tell her our testimony and our story of the different things. And she stopped and she said, "Not this baby. I gave this baby a 10 on his Apgar score, and I don't give 10s.
This baby had an Apgar score of 10, which is perfect. And I kind of looked at it as God just showing off.
Praise God for parents who believe and are standing. And, you know, if Steve and Holly hadn't have seen God heal their son, I guarantee you they would have gone ahead and have still loved him and embraced him. And they would have been praying for his healing after he was born. But what a great testimony. And I want to encourage you, some of you already have children with disabilities and stuff. That doesn't mean that their life is less. But I also want to say that God doesn't just want us to put up with these things. God didn't make, it's not God's will that these birth defects and handicaps, God's not the one who does that. I know that this is traditionally, typically the way that the church approaches it today and says God is sovereign and God caused this. And God put this child with all of these problems in your life to teach you something or to do this. And you can learn things out of it. I'm not saying that, you know, a handicapped child can't still show you a tremendous amount of love and it can be a tremendous experience. I'm not saying that their life is somehow less. I'm saying just the opposite. If you've listened to what I've said on this program today, I believe that every life needs to be honored, whether they are the strong one or a weak one. So I pray that you aren't misunderstanding, but I don't believe that God is one that created that. I believe that God's will is for us to be healthy in every area of our life. By His stripes, we were healed. Not everybody has experienced that, but I believe that that's God's will. And if that's God's will, then we can press towards it. And I'm encouraging you today to take this testimony. And the same power that healed little Nathaniel in the womb can heal a child outside of the womb. All things are possible. I encourage you to call that number that you see on your screen and ask for prayer today.
The story you saw on today's program is included, along with four additional healing testimonies, on the Healing Journeys Volume 2 DVD. This DVD is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get this product as part of the Healing Journeys package, which includes three DVDs, Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, and 3. These three DVDs contain a total of 15 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. In addition to the DVDs, this package also includes a copy of the booklet, God Wants You Well. This booklet answers questions about healing and lists every instance in the Bible where Jesus healed. The entire package has a catalog value of $77, but today you can get the Healing Journeys package for a gift of just $50 or more. The booklet, God Wants You Well, is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this booklet free of charge when you request it. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado next week for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance, January 20th through the 22nd, and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 10th through the 12th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for Caris Bible College Campus Days, March 9th through the 11th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 31st through April 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite all of the men to come join me on January the 20th through the 22nd right here at our facility in Colorado Springs for our 2011 Men's Advance. It starts on Thursday evening, January the 20th. It goes through Saturday morning. And it's just a great time for guys to get together to sit under the Word. And I promise you, it'll make an impact on your life. So make plans to join me right here in Colorado Springs, January the 20th through the 22nd for our 2011 Men's Advance.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned the healing testimony of the Trover family. To see more about this story, go to our website at www.awmi.net and click on Healing Testimonies on the left side of the screen.